news is, I've caught a cold. The good news is, nevertheless, I persist. I want to start just by saying, these are dangerous times for our country. And the direction we go will in part be set right here in Iowa. I am grateful to all of you who take this seriously, who are in this fight all the way, and who are going to help us make a better country. So thank you. So I thought I'd just talk a little bit, tell you a little bit about myself, and why I'm in this fight, and then we'll just take some questions. And then afterwards, if you want to, we'll take some pictures, because that's a good thing. I grew up in Oklahoma, May 12th, that's who works here. I grew up in a family, my daddy, he sold stuff. He sold carpeting, he sold paint, he sold housewares. I have three older brothers. They all went off and joined the military. They carry their veterans cards today, proudly. Known as the late in life baby. My mom always called me the surprise. I was about 30 before they hit me with that net. But it worked out. So for a long time, it was just my mom and my daddy and me. And when I was in middle school, daddy had a heart attack. And my mom and I thought that he was going to die. He didn't. He was in the hospital for a while. And then came home, but he couldn't work. And so the bills piled up. We lost our family station wagon. And at night, my mom would tuck me into bed, and I'd hear him talk. And I learned words like mortgage and foreclosure. Heavy words for a kid. One day I walked into my folks' bedroom, and laid out on the bed was the dress. Now, some of you know the dress. It's the one that only comes out for weddings, funerals, and graduations. And my mother had it laid out, and she was pacing back and forth. She's in her stocking feet, and she was crying. And she was saying, "We will not lose this house. We will not lose this house. We will not lose this house." She was 50 years old. She had never worked outside the home. And she was terrified. And so finally, she pulled that dress on. She put on her high heels, blew her nose, and she walked to the Sears and got a minimum wage job. And that minimum wage job saved our house. And it saved our family. And if you want to know who I am, there it is. That's the story written on my heart. And for a long time, I thought that story was a story just about my mother. A story about how she dug deep. And when she had to, she dug deeper. And then I started to understand years later. It's the story of millions of families across this country. People who do what needs to be done to take care of those they love. And then, years after that, I came to understand it's also a story about government. Because when I was a kid, a minimum wage job would support a family of three. Yeah. It would cover a mortgage, it would cover utilities, and it would still get basic food on the table. Today, a minimum wage job in America, full time, will not keep a mama and a baby out of poverty. That is wrong. And it's wrong. Thank you. I wanted to be a school teacher. We got any school teachers here? Yeah. I wanted to be a school teacher, but back in college, there was no money for that. So, like I said, it's a bumpy path. I got a scholarship, dropped out of school, got married. Smart. My chance was a commuter college that cost $50 a semester. Yeah. And more than guests and young people. I had babies, I went to a state law school, and I ended up as a professor. Now, that was pretty amazing. But the one thing I can tell you about all of my grown-up professional life is that it is centered around one fundamental question. What's happening to working families in this country? Why is it getting harder and harder for young people to be able to build some security? Why is the path getting rockier, and particularly rockier for people of color? Why is that happening? So, let me just lay it out a little bit. It's Washington. And think about it with the story I started out with. Back when I was a little girl, the folks in Washington, and check this, they thought about the minimum wage in terms of what does it take a family of three to survive? And that's where they thought the minimum wage should be set, because it should be an opportunity, a gateway, a chance to get in. Today, the folks in Washington who are in charge think that the way to set a minimum wage is to maximize the profits of a multinational corporation. They work for the rich and the powerful, not for the rest of us. And it's not just there. It's throughout the system. Washington works great for giant drug companies, not for people who are trying to fill a prescription. Great for giant oil companies that want to drill everywhere, but not for people who are worried that this planet is going to burn up. Washington works great for giant financial institutions, but not for people whose social security numbers get stolen. This is one step after another. Washington works for the rich and the powerful and leaves everyone else behind. This is corruption. Away at our democracy and at the very fiber of our lives. I'll just do a couple of things. Today, in America, wages have basically not budged for the median family for an entire generation, but the cost of housing has gone up. The cost of getting an education has gone up. The cost of child care has gone up. The cost of health care has gone up. Families are in the squeeze because Washington's working for the rich. Let me do another one. Home ownership. Number one way in America for middle class families to build the wealth. It's generation after generation. It's how it works. Today in America, African-American home ownership rates are the same as they were when housing discrimination was legal. Think about that. Yeah. And student loans. Like I said, I got a four-year diploma at a cost that I could pay for on a part-time waitressing job. Today, young people in this country are getting crushed by $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. We have got to turn this around. Understand the impact of this corruption. Whatever issue brought you here tonight, I guarantee it intersects through a Washington that's working for the rich and the powerful. Look, gun safety, it goes through Washington. We can't do basic things that most of us agree on. Why? Because we've got the NRA calling the shots in Washington. Threat to all of us, but the oil companies, the coal companies keep calling the shots in Washington. We have to fight back. We can talk about a lot of these pieces, but I want to put on the table an idea, and that is we need change, but not just one statute here or one law over there. That's not going to get the job done. We need big structural change. Yeah. We've got to go big on this. So let me give you some ideas and some examples, and then we'll get to some questions. So here's the first one. We need to change the rules in Washington. Yes. And it's about money and politics. It's about the influence of money. I have the biggest anti-corruption proposal since Watergate. Yes. How about we block the revolving door between Wall Street and Washington? For federal office, needs to put their taxes on them. Change the rules in Washington. Citizens United, money and politics, change the rules in Washington. Okay. We gotta change the rules in this economy. And here I want to start again with structural change. We got a problem where the big corporations, the billionaires, they're calling the shots. We need to strengthen our unions, our workers. Costs that are crippling middle class families. Healthcare is a basic human right. A chance to get an education without getting crushed by student loan debt. Social Security and protect our pensions. That's how you do it. So, we gotta change the rules in Washington. We gotta change the rules in our economy. And we've gotta change the rules in our politics. And that means we need to protect democracy. Here's my first idea. I want to see a constitutional amendment so that every American citizen has a right to vote and that vote will be counted. one more time. We've got to get money out of politics, overturn Citizens United. I never thought I'd run for public office. Not in a million years. It was not on my to-do list, not on my bucket list, not on my anything list. But here's the deal. My daddy ended up as a janitor. And I got a chance to become a public school teacher, a college professor, and a United States senator, because America invested in opportunity for me. I am determined that we will be a country that invests in opportunity for every one of our children. So this is about how we make change. And for me, I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing here in Iowa, and that is trying to build grassroots. Because I don't believe that democracy should be for sale to billionaires and giant corporations. I don't take corporate PAC money. Shoot, I don't take PAC money of any kind. Rebuilding what we do again. This is about rebuilding our democracy. Person by person by person across Iowa and across this country. So I'm going to do this grassroots. I hope everybody in here will sign up, will be part of this. ElizabethWarren.com. Go there. Volunteer. Be part of this. Get a sign, a bumper sticker, offer to make a few phone calls, pitch in $5. But make an investment in democracy, because this is our chance. This is our chance. We, together, can dream big and fight hard, and that's how we'll make change.